Okay, let's get it. Locked on LSU, your team every day. Getting closer, y'all. It's Thursday. This week, in many respects, feels like it has crawled by with the anticipation of Saturday's game with LSU and Texas. But we're getting there, and glad you're hanging out with us here for the Locked on LSU podcast. Ed Ogeron was both on the SEC Coaches Teleconference and had his weekly radio show on Wednesday. We'll let you hear from them. The smack talk on both sides, LSU and Texas, continues. We'll also hear from Ryan Clark, former LSU and NFL safety, who has coached in the opening and seven-on-sevens, a lot of the players on both LSU and Texas's teams. And he shared with us some thoughts on both LSU's offense and defense and how they can have success in Austin. So you'll hear that coming up shortly. First, though, here was Coach O talking about we'll visit a lot of what Coach O had to say on his radio show on Wednesday, including the direction the offense is headed after week one.
One of the best offensive performers I've seen since I've been here. Very crisp, very efficient. Threw the ball to 14 different players, no sacks, led by Joe Burrow, who's an excellent quarterback. We're excited about the offense and the direction it's going in, but we have a big, stiff challenge this week. I think we'll answer the call.
Something else I've heard a lot this week from LSU fans is the excitement and anticipation of possibly forcing turnovers, which LSU forced two turnovers last week against Georgia Southern. And something that I would listen, I absolutely think, and this is, it's so cliche to look at the turnover margin and say, well, that's where the game's won or lost. But in some respects, it is very true. You, in a game like this in particular, if you're able to go on the road and steal a couple of possessions, then you're going to feel really good about the possibility of winning a game that Vegas thinks is a one-score game. But here was Ed Ogeron about the turnover battle.
It's so critical, especially on the road. We have to win the turnover battle. And I want to give kudos to our team. Georgia Southern was plus 22 in the turnover ratio, and we beat them plus two. So that was a great job by coach staff and our team. We're going to have to cause turnovers. We're going to have to take care of the football, especially in critical times, a critical position on the field.
Look, Ed's right, and it almost goes without saying, right? You got to win the turnover battle. But something that I want you to consider, because I want you to consider that this is a difficult challenge. Now, you're right. A week ago, you played a team that was number one in the country a year ago in turnover margin. They had five turnovers all of last year and had 27 takeaways. So you were facing a team that a year ago was fantastic in that area. But Texas has been really good at protecting the football as well, in particular Sam Ehlinger. So in 14 games a year ago, 14 games last year, Sam Ehlinger threw five interceptions. They lost six fumbles. So they had 11 turnovers a year ago, Texas did. LSU a year ago lost 13 turnovers. Now, LSU had 25 takeaways, and Texas had 20 takeaways, so LSU was better at taking the ball away, but LSU gave up more turnovers than Texas did a year ago. Sam Ehlinger, since his freshman year, has been very good at protecting the football. As a freshman, he had double-digit turnovers. Last year, just the five interceptions, and then on last Saturday against Louisiana Tech, four touchdowns, no interceptions. It's something that Ehlinger had to work on after a freshman season where he was the freshman starter, but turned the ball over a good amount. You can hear it in Ed Ogeron's voice there, the importance of winning the turnover battle, and it's true. But it's also understand the challenge this week going against a quarterback that makes good decisions and does not typically turn the ball over. Now, you could also argue the contrary, where a year ago when Alabama came into Baton Rouge, Tua Tagovailoa had not thrown a pick, and Todd Harris intercepted him on the first defensive series for LSU. So LSU's athletic, they're opportunistic, and they're going to need to be, but also understand that's a challenge this week. You know, a year ago when LSU went to Florida and lost that game in the Swamp, LSU lost the turnover battle 3-1. It was late Joe Burrow interceptions, which ultimately sealed it for Florida. So not only do you need to focus this week on LSU trying to take the ball away, but I would say it's even more important not giving Texas momentum, not giving Texas a short field, not giving Texas and that offense extra possession. So, yeah, of course, we're always going to focus on turnover margin, but I am even more concerned this week on the road with LSU protecting the ball as I am with them taking it away. Two more from Ogeron's coach's show. Another thing that's certainly worth considering is the kicking game, where Cade York was 2 of 2 in his debut. Cameron Dicker is the returning place kicker for Texas. He had a nice season last year, kicked a walk-off in the Red River rivalry against Oklahoma. Did go 1 of 2 last week, so Dicker missed one a week ago, whereas York was 2 for 2. Although the first one from Cade York, the 39-yarder, was just inside the upright, but it counts. Here was Ed Ogeron on his freshman kicker.
He's been very consistent, but you got to be consistent in the games. And, the crowd's going to be something else. Our crowd was great, but I think he answered it well. He's going to have to make a pressure kick. It may be this week. I think he can do it.
And one more. Here's Ed Ogeron talking about the Texas defense, which LSU is going to try to attack Saturday night.
Fast, really fast at linebackers. Caden Stern is one of the best safeties we're going to see. Obviously, we have a great safety. Outstanding tall linebackers with speed, good rushers up front. They're going to look the part now. They look like an NFL team on film. These guys are big, fast, and physical. Very strong at the point of attack.
Ed's certainly right about Texas looking the part. They have recruited exceptionally well on the defensive side of the ball. Athletes on the defensive side of the ball. They look the part. And LSU will face a team that's more its physical equal than they did a week ago in Georgia Southern. So the question kind of becomes, how does that LSU offensive line hold up this week? You know, a week ago, LSU's rushing game between the tackles left a lot to be desired. Ed Ogeron on Tuesday, when he met with the media, when asked about, Badara Traore and the offensive line, he said, look, essentially Traore played okay, but he made some mistakes, and they still have a competition at left guard. He complimented Austin Deculus at right tackle, and then Lloyd Cushenberry and Damian Lewis. But that left side of the line, it's worth watching this week how they hold up in particular against a team that's more its physical equal. So Ed Ogeron tonight will have his last media availability before LSU's wheels up for Austin. So on tomorrow's Locked On, we'll hear any final preparations from Ed Ogeron before they head out to Austin. Okay, it is Locked On LSU, your team every day. Former LSU and NFL safety Ryan Clark on what LSU has to do defensively to slow down that Texas offense. That's next, Locked On LSU, your team every day. We continue Locked On LSU, your team every day. A former LSU and NFL safety Ryan Clark chatted with us. In just a second, you'll hear his take on how LSU's defense can slow down Sam Ehlinger and the Texas offense. But I got to remind you, no house advantage. They're taking an exciting new spin on daily fantasy sports. Instead of salary cap drafting, no house advantage offers daily player prop contests. Easy for you to say. Daily player prop contest. So download No House Advantage now from the App Store and use the code LOCKEDON to receive 2 free tokens when you purchase 2 tokens. That's a $10 value. That's code LOCKEDON to receive 2 free tokens when you purchase 2. Download No House Advantage and start playing today. Okay, LSU is at Texas this weekend. You know that by now. They got a big challenge in stopping Tom Herman's offense led by junior quarterback Sam Ehlinger. Ryan Clark on how LSU can begin to slow down Sam Ehlinger and the Texas offense.
So, do you believe in Chris Fulton? Do you believe in Derek Stingley?
Do you?
They got to play. Yes, absolutely. Chris Fulton is a starting corner in the league, and Derek Stingley, when it's his time, will be the first one picked in his draft. And so, yes. So, what I'm going to do is make this a game where my 2 top 5 safeties, when I recruited them, and now the number 1 overall safety in the country, that they play against Sam Ehlinger. That you make him win the game in between the numbers. You make him throw the ball where he has to make throws into tight spaces while being pressured. We saw Rashard Lawrence have a good pressure sack fumble last week, scoop by Patrick Queen. And so you need to see those type of things and match those guys up. Kerry Vincent has to be big this week. Also, in a sense, we saw Damone Clark take a step forward and say, maybe I deserve to play this much every week. Michael Divinity is back this week. So you're going to have to play this game where their best player is their quarterback. And I believe we are strong down the middle, but we also can match up outside and have those guys play on an island by themselves. You're going to have to beat me over the top if I'm Derek Stingley. You're going to have to beat me over the top if I'm Christian Fulton. And though I believe the comparison to Tim Tebow is an accurate comparison from a sense of the way these guys are used. I believe it's a lazy comparison from their skill sets. I don't believe Sam Ehlinger is as good of as a runner as Tim Tebow was. I don't necessarily believe he's as good as of a leader, but he's a better thrower of the football. He's a little more accurate than Tim Tebow. So knowing with those guys on the outside where they are, can Sam Ehlinger complete the throws and make the throws downfield that you need him to? We saw him a couple of passes last week against La Tech, hit some things on the outside, some good catches by some outside receivers, but he was behind a couple of times in the middle. Those are plays you expect Grant Delpit to make, Todd Harris to make, Kerry Vincent Jr. to make. And so it's going to be a chess match of can Sam Ehlinger be better than our guys inside? And I believe as a whole, we are better in there, which is why I think the LSU Tigers win by at least a touchdown.
All right. Colin Johnson, 6'6", 220. Brennan Eagles, 6'4", 225. Malcolm Epps, 6'6", 245. Jordan Pouncey, 6'2", 205. How do you deal with that?
Well, the way you deal with it is that usually those guys don't get out of the way. And what I mean by that is it's easier to stick close to those guys. Like I was never nervous when I played against big skill guys, right? Because you may get embarrassed, right? Because they may go over your head, but I know where they're going to be, right? I know I'm going to be in close proximity with an opportunity to make plays. And when you got two guys on the outside who were track guys, right? Both Fulton and Stingley, track guys. Two guys who can jump out of the gym and make plays out there. Cordell Flott is a 6'1 corner who's long if he has to come in and play. Obviously, Jacoby and Grant are especially long safeties. I think we have guys that match up from a length standpoint enough, right? You're not going to find a 6'4 corner, at least not one you want to play on your football team. Like, he might be a guy that could play the intramural team. And so,
what about Sherman?
He's 6'2 maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a 6'2 guy, right? Jalen Ramsey's a 6'1 mm-hmm. plus guy. And these dudes are aliens, right? They're predators. You know what I mean? Cuz and like that's what the world is going to. The world is going to like we got to have if he's 6'3, we want him. What 6'3 dudes bend well? You know, but it also goes over offensively that those guys don't get in and out of cuts very quickly. They're not explosive on two-step releases in sense of getting into my break, 1-2, decelerating, accelerating back out. So you expect a guy like Stingley, a guy like Vincent, a guy like Grant Delpit to be able to be in their hip pocket, much like watching a guy like Michael Thomas. It's not that Michael Thomas creates all of this separation. What it is he's playing with the most accurate quarterback to have ever played the game, and he uses his body for space. DeAndre Hopkins is another one who's bigger than, you know, a lot of people think, but he doesn't create a lot of separation, but he finds ways to catch the ball. So it's going to be about us playing the ball at the point of attack.
You think there, and Ryan Clark's with us a couple more minutes here, where is the potential? And I love LSU's defensive front seven. I think they're better this year. I mean, they got – it's just different when you got guys that are 22, 23 putting their hand
they're
in
adults.
The dirt. I mean, it matters.
Yeah, Lawrence coming back, obviously huge. I think if you were a guy that was around camp, you really heard some of the Damone Clark praise. I think
Dude, Ed Ogeron said it every time he had a mic in his face.
I think have you ever seen him up close recently?
Absolutely.
It's freakish.
Yeah.
And so
I love the way you described it was he was Devin White stretched.
That's what he is.
That's the best visual analogy I've heard.
That's what he is. And so in that, it's you have dudes up front. Now, I don't necessarily know, it's interesting to see what Caleb Vaughn can do from a rush standpoint this game. Mm-hmm. We watched him drop last week, though, and make plays. Huge hit on the quarterback. And so you've seen some of those things. So now you're looking, can they put enough pressure on Sam Ehlinger? Also, can you keep him contained from the run standpoint? Mm-hmm. Right? That's the element that he adds. That's a little bit different. And it's not Lamar Jackson style runs, right? Like those type of runs keep you awake at night.
Yeah.
He more so wants to move the chains, and in moving the chains, he keeps your offense off the field and kind of presents a physical dominance like we saw in the Sugar Bowl against Georgia.
He had 21 carries for like 64 yards. He's never the threat to break the big one.
That's my point. And so
if it's third and three, he's going to get you four.
Right, and I think
– and that was the thing that was maddening about Tebow.
Yes.
Was – He was never going to bust the 60-yarder, but it was like, damn it, we're almost off the field, and then this guy just puts his head down and runs over linebacker.
And you know, too, what happened with Tebow, and not to go back into that, those numbers were inflated from this standpoint, because you're right. Tim Tebow was never, like, it wasn't Lamar Jackson-esque. But you know what happened? Every time it was, like, second and goal, they let him run it.
Yeah.
And then you look at the stats, and it's like, this dude has more touchdowns than everybody in the country. Yeah.
Ellinger had 16 rushing touchdowns.
Right, you see what I'm saying?
And, like, but 450 yards.
And then, you know, and then with Tebow, it was because Percy Harvin, you couldn't tackle him, but he'd, like, step out of bounds on the one-inch line. And so you know, and I think Sam, and this is not in any way to discredit what Sam Ellinger is, but you also have to know that what his running style is and what he brings to that team is much more than what the stats say in this sense. He brings a physicality from a quarterback standpoint that ignites the rest of the team. Right, when I'm a wide receiver, when I'm a running back, and I watch my quarterback take on a linebacker to get an extra yard that gets us a first down, it's like, if this dude can go out and be that physical, he's one of the dudes.
Yeah.
Now I got to do the same thing. And so those are the things that we're going to have to – LSU is going to have to –
That's what you can – I mean, you play. You can say whatever you want, man.
You know, it's going to have to be aware of. And there's going to be a time where Damone Clark or Patrick Queen or Mike Divinity or Kalyvon Chason – Rashard Lawrence are going to have to hit him square in the face. Well, not the face. I'm sorry. I forgot you get kicked out of the game.
No, as long as your head's up, yeah. Right? Like face mask to face mask, you can do that.
They're going to have to take him on and win and not look like Latimer looked on the goal line when he stopped taking steroids on the program. Like, they're going to have to win. And that's going to – because if you lose that, now there's cows running around Austin. Cowboys are excited. You know, like, people are turning vegan, so there's more cows at the game. It's going to be crazy.
That's a great reference, man. Always awesome stuff from Ryan Clark. We did flip the field as well, and I asked Ryan, okay, if you're the LSU offense, or if you're Texas's defense, if you're Todd Orlando, how are you preparing to stop Joe Burrow, Joe Brady, this new-look LSU offense when you've seen one game? You can listen to all of that at 1045ESPN.com. Just go to After Further Review on demand, 1045ESPN.com, or however you're listening to this podcast, search 1045ESPN, and you'll see the Ryan Clark interview under the September the 4th date on After Further Review. We'll knock out a final break here in the Locked In LSU podcast. When we come back, more trash talk and clarity on ticket allotments. That's next. Locked In LSU, your team every day. We are wrapping up another edition here of the Locked In LSU podcast, your team every day. The trash talk has been plentiful this week, and we've shared a lot of it with you, from Kalyvon Chason taking digs at Sam Ellinger, then not backing down from his comments, the Texas defensive backs wearing there's only one real DBU shirts, and it seemingly continued at all levels with these two programs and the players and the fan bases, and it continued to a degree with Malcolm Roach, who's a Baton Rouge kid who's a senior defensive lineman on this Texas team. He went to Madison Prep. He's now 6'3", 290. He's started 11 games, played in 34 career games for the Longhorns. And he was asked about playing against his hometown team.
Most kids in Louisiana, they grew up, you know, LSU is the dream school. You know, my situation was different, you know. My situation was a lot different with my dad being a coach. So I was around football. I wasn't around LSU football as much as other schools, you know, other kids, you know, come up looking at LSU football on TV. I was always looking at Grambling or Southern play, so my situation was a lot different. So at the end of the day, there was never really a dream school for me.
Roach also said candidly that LSU never offered, so certainly factors into it as well. He'll have a shot against his hometown team that didn't offer 4 years ago when he was coming out of Madison Prep. One thing's for sure, a lot of LSU fans are headed to Austin. How many get in the stands will be interesting. So there had been some rumors about the limited allotment, and we've now got reports that LSU was given only 3,000 tickets for this game, all of them in the upper deck at Darrell K. Royal. I've mentioned this on my radio show, have had conversations with both top 50 and top 20 Taft donors, Tiger Athletic Foundation donors, that were each given only 4 tickets, all in the upper deck. So LSU had a very minimal allotment. I'm told LSU's band will also be in the upper deck at Darrell K. Royal Memorial Stadium this weekend for the LSU-Texas game. This is sort of the trade-off. You can go play a neutral site game, and everybody can get a ticket. Anybody that wants to go to a game played at Jerry World, with a 100,000-seat stadium, anybody can get a ticket. When you schedule a home and home, you do get a great home game. And Texas will be in Baton Rouge next year, and that's going to be a lot of fun. This is the trade-off, though. When you make that return trip, you're going to get a very minimal allotment. It's going to be very hard or very expensive for fans to go. So because LSU's allotment was small, a lot of LSU fans have had to flood to the secondary ticket market. And according to SeatGeek, the average price of a ticket is $569. That's the average price for a single ticket, $569. That's the highest they've ever recorded for a Texas game or any ticketed event in Austin, period. Any concert, anything. This is the most in-demand game at Texas, or I'm sorry, in college football since 2010, and the second most, the most in-demand since 2010 for Texas, and the second most for college football, behind only Notre Dame and Georgia later this month. The average ticket price for that game is $855. So now you understand why a lot of LSU fans are having trouble getting tickets to this game on Saturday, unless if they're willing to pay a pretty steep price. I will be very interested to see how many Tiger fans find their way into the stadium in an attempt to take over, because to do so will cost quite a few nickels. All right, it's Locked on LSU, your team every day. On tomorrow's episode, we'll wrap up the week. You'll get a full comprehensive preview of the Texas Longhorns, and we'll give you our preview and prediction of the game and final thoughts from Ed Ogeron as he meets with the media on Thursday night. In the meantime, if you've not done so yet, please subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you listen. Subscribing is a massive, massive help. Please do that. Like us, rate us on iTunes. All that's a giant help as well. So thank you sincerely. Until tomorrow, Locked on LSU, your team. Locked on LSU.